Hello, folks. You're listening to Aggie Radio. I'm Jake Grossman. I'm with the USU Meditation Club. And now we have our own radio show where we talk about mindfulness and meditation. With the student club, we're located here on campus. That's what's really neat about it. And it has club status, meaning the status that we have to be here on campus, but really it's open for all. It's open for faculty, staff, students, even public. And so it's a really neat place to come and check out mindfulness or meditation, or if you already have an existing practice, you can come and support any existing practice you have there as well. And so what's really neat about that, you don't have to go out of your way if you're already here on campus, but if you aren't able to check that out, if you're wanting to start a practice but don't know how to, don't know where to go, you're listening to the right place because you got me. No, I'm just kidding. But what's really neat about a group or with being on here is we can find those resources. And so if you're a student and you weren't able to make it to our meditation meetings, we meet every Wednesday from 3 to 4. And if you're not able to make those in the TSC in room 335, there's a lot of good resources on our webpage. If you have an A number, you can go to your MyUSU portal page. And when you're on the home page, you can hover the mouse, the top left, there's an icon of two people, and a drop-down list will appear. You'll click on Manage Communities. And then all the list of all the clubs and organizations here at USU that are on the new page so far will show up. And you can, on the right side, you have to click join. I know that's a big commitment right now. You don't know what you're getting into quite yet. But you can just do that just to go and check it out. And then in the middle of the screen next to the name, there's another icon that then says open. Then you can open and go into it. And then there's resources, there's links online, links online. There's a community where you can ask questions to anybody else. And so it's a way to open up and find out little directions to go, because that wisdom is in everybody. Nobody is just one source of all the wisdom. And so it's basically an online community that happens that kind of facilitates, as you can ask others questions. Like I said, there's links. If you're not a student, we do have an email. It's usumeditationclub@gmail.com. So if you were interested, you can also email that. We can send you anything, anything that's coming up for you as well. There are other resources as well. We have a couple meditation groups around the valley. They're called Sanghas, which is really just a group of meditators where we get together, practice, learn, and just really bring out opening the mind, opening the heart with each other, and kind of just learning as we go, actually. So I've kind of just dived right into this. And so you may be wondering, what exactly is mindfulness? How long is this guy going to be going on about it? And so just a warning, This will be a weekly show, Thursdays 3 to 4. So there's your warning right there. Hopefully that's interesting to you. And so you can check us out that way as well. So first, I just wanted to talk about definitions of mindfulness. Mindfulness is a way of paying attention to the present moment by using either meditation, yoga, breathing techniques. It involves consciously bringing awareness to our thoughts and feelings without making judgments about them. It is a method for observing what is happening right now in our bodies, minds, and the world around us. And so it can actually even go into just very ordinary experiences. It isn't just sitting quiet meditation. It isn't just yoga. Those are great formal ways to start a practice, to cultivate the mind, allowing a wisdom, allowing that creative spontaneity to rise, creating a space to pause in the moment, to really see what's happening in you and around you. And so there are great places to go. Like I said, I just mentioned the club, but also it can be a very ordinary experience, can connect you to your immediate experience, what's happening right now, and therefore really being present for what you're doing throughout your day, throughout your relationships with others. So it's very helpful that way as well. And mindfulness there's been a lot of research and studies on, tons of academic journals, which everybody just loves to read those. But the science is there showing many benefits of stress reduction, lowering anxiety, just more control. Control is a little tight word, but more of an acceptance of being present with our experience instead of so much being victim or blown around by our thoughts. Being students, some of you may have experienced the restless mind, forgetting exam questions, or just even just working or with your families, just forgetfulness. And so there's lots of studies that have found many, many benefits. But even better than that is just diving right in, becoming mindful, a conscious, aware way of living an intentional life, connecting you to your environment, like I said, your family, just your interactions. It can be very, very personal or impersonal. It can just be driving through traffic, realizing, you know, maybe not everybody is purposely cutting you off, just recognizing that this is happening right now. And maybe a feeling of anger or some emotion comes up, and we can notice that without having to so much get entangled in it. And so the stress that helps with work, helps with school, can be motivational. These are good things, but they don't have to so much blow us around and control us. We can just be present with life, not have to fight so hard against it. And something wonderful really can open up for you. We might have just ran away from our thoughts, wanting to be entertained all the time, finding maybe less skillful ways to run away from ourselves. So when we start talking about awareness in the present moment, what is he talking about? We're really not here a lot. We have a lot of gadgets to take us out of the moment. And so, like I said, when we have these distractions, we call them, or interruptions, things we don't particularly like, aren't inherently evil or terrible things. They're just things that are happening in our daily lives, and we can become aware of them. And what's really important with that is see how it's affecting us physically. A lot of times when we're anxious or lots of other emotions, we may not even notice it. But myself, I can hold a lot of tension up in my neck and shoulders, and that can aggravate pain, making pain even worse, because then there's the tension, constriction, not allowing things to flow, just not really being present. So when we do become aware of that, I can relax that and not have to so much go and get something fixed in that sense. So it's creating this really nice space to kind of sit back and be aware what's happening in our lives. And there's also, like I mentioned, some other groups here with me today. I'm honored to have Tim Slocum. He is a co-founder of a Monday night Cache Valley Sangha here in Logan. So it's a place you can go meditate, learn from others. And but really, it's a group of meditators that pick up on different traditions, teachings that help you live in an aware, open mind, open-hearted way. But Tim is also professor of special education. Correct?
That's right.
And so not only is he, and I think just had his inaugural lecture not too long ago at the president's home. So congrats on that. That's right. I have done a little research on you.
Well, thanks. It's good to know that you've been, that I've been Googled.
Yeah. And so yes, there's these titles, co-founder of a sangha, a meditation group, professor of psychology. But what impresses me the most with Tim is very, very wonderful friend. Lots of wisdom and guidance. He may deny that he's some kind of wise person when it comes to meditation or practice or life in general, but there's a lot of people that respect you, myself included. You've really helped out my practice. By practice, I mean giving me a little direction with where I'm going, helping my meditation, which again has supported my life. And so he's been a very wonderful person to help do that, and so I'm honored to have you on the show. So welcome.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here on your inaugural show.
Yeah, that's right. And so since you first tell us a little bit about the Sangha, in case people aren't able to, they're maybe wanting to check out a place to go learn to meditate or already have a practice but wanting to find a group or just expand what they currently do. As I mentioned to you earlier, this is not the authoritative, or I'm not at least, the authoritative view on what meditation, what mindfulness is and is capable of. It's a slice. It's a one moment in time, one perspective, which may be a helpful tool and skill for you, but it's really dynamic, many different techniques, traditions, places. And so if you wanted to expand on your own or learn, that's also a place to check that out. Would you mind telling us a little bit of information about that?
Yeah, sure. The Sangha, the Cache Valley Sangha, has been going on for about 14 years. Its humble origins are me and another guy got together at his house to meditate together. Neither of us knew anyone else who meditated regularly, and we were both very new to it. So we just met up and started doing it without much background, without knowing many teachings or having been trained in any way in meditation or mindfulness. And, you know, 14 years ago, it was not as well known as it is today. Mm-hmm. Now meditation and mindfulness is kind of on the upswing. It's kind of faddish, a lot of, you know, on the cover of Time magazine, and it's very accessible. But back in those days, it was much less so. So we just started getting together and exploring meditation and mindfulness. And it's evolved over 14 years, but basically we do the same thing. We get together every Monday night at 7:15, and a group of us sit together, we meditate, and then we discuss topics relevant to meditation. All of our discussions are designed to deepen and enrich our practices of meditation, and importantly, how that affects the rest of our lives. Because as we've discussed, the real importance of any kind of meditation is not the time you're sitting on the cushion. It's the entire rest of your day. That's the test of whether that meditation practice is really valuable. How do you interact with other people? And how happy are you with your life during the other 23 hours mm-hmm. of the day? So anyway, we meet on Mondays at 7:15 at the Unitarian Universalist House on 600 East and 900 North, right in the corner there. And all are welcome. I would emphasize it's a very informal group. It's the kind of thing you can just come on in without any background or with a lot of background. And if you haven't ever meditated before, we'll help you out to get started.
Very accessible in that way. You said all are welcome. So one thing I kind of want to talk about is, first, maybe I'll put you on the spot a little bit. What is meditation to you? And again, this is not a one-size-fits-all. This is an evolving definition. Definition may not even be, because we've already called it practice or way of life. And so what does meditation mean to you?
That is a notoriously difficult question for those of you who can't see us. Jake is smiling at me because he knows he's just lobbed at me a really, really complicated question. One thing I like to say to start thinking about it, it's kind of like the question, what is an active lifestyle? Hmm. Well, that includes so much, from getting up every 5 minutes from my desk and just standing up, to participating in sports recreationally, to rock climbing, to competitive sports, to an incredible array of things. And meditation is kind of like that too. It includes a huge variety of different techniques and a huge variety of different kinds of outcomes that you might derive from it, like with an active lifestyle. Well, it's good just to keep your muscles toned. It's good to keep you from getting a bad back. It's good for your heart. It's good for your lungs. And also, you know, it's good socially because you get together with people and so on. Similar thing with meditation. There's many different kinds of benefits. So we have to, so we can look at all of those, and that would take a long time. So I would encourage the listener to, whenever they hear somebody talk about why meditate or what are the benefits of meditation, to keep in mind that anything somebody says is going to only be a part of the whole thing. There's no possible answer that would capture everything. But having said all that, I still need to give you something to work with, right? I am a professor, and I can go on a long time without actually answering the question. But I'm not on duty right now, so I should answer the question. I would start, and where it started for me was stress reduction. Mm-hmm. And so one of the great benefits of meditation is dealing with the stress in one's life. That's what brought me to it. And what you learn to do, as you were describing in your intro, Jake, what you learn to do in meditation is start to simply watch the things that are going on in your head and your sensory experiences, and simply see them for what they are. Passing events that arise, that are present, and then go away. And a huge amount of our stress comes from taking those events that arise, are present, and pass away, taking them differently than that, and really believing that they're true in a way they're not true. We make up a lot of stories about what might happen in the future. I think everybody can relate to that, worrying about an event that might happen in the future. And then spend a lot of time being stressed about this event that might happen in the future. A, most of the time those terrible events never happen.
Right.
So there was no reason to be worried about it at all. Yet we could spend days and weeks worried about this event that might happen in the future. Other times those events do happen, and often we find that worrying about it didn't actually help at all.
Right.
So one huge part of meditation is recognizing, oh, that's my story I'm making up about what might happen in the future. I see it, I know what it is, but I don't have to be manipulated by it.
Right, and so, very well put. And so where that's helpful is it really gives you that space. Maybe there is something to do. You recognize that, as you mentioned, and you can go about doing that. But if there isn't anything, then it's kind of, worrying doesn't solve a whole lot. It's bad for our health. or it's unhealthy. And really, when we can sit with that, meaning not a habitual reaction, but sitting back a little bit, giving that space, we can learn to respond. And so even if there wasn't anything we could do, or if there is, we go ahead and try to find that effectively. But it really allows that space. So now instead of, oh crap, it's raining today. Why does it have to rain? I wasn't prepared. Now I'm soaked. We can go on and on about how, and it can really ruin our day. But was it the fact that it was raining did? And there's no, we don't need to blame that, well, you should have been prepared, but we can just see it. Ah, it's a fresh spring rain. It's so important. It's where all our food grows from. It's where our water comes from. And that's a drastic change, of course, but just the recognizing that this isn't what I had in mind. It's not particularly, and again, these can be more dramatic cases. It may not be what we would typically really wish for, of course, when these things happen. But at the same time, we don't have to be swept away adding more to the story, as you mentioned, and then that creates more stories, more anxiety, more stress. We can kind of recognize that, step back, and really just be with it and see kind of what comes up there. Someone once said that life is a lot kinder than the stories we tell about it.
Oh, that's a great quote. Yeah. And I like your example. I mean, just as a starting place of getting caught in the rain and getting soaked. And you may be uncomfortable, right? Your clothes may be uncomfortable. Some of your clothes might be damaged by being in a storm. But being upset about it doesn't change those facts.
And that's the part that's your choice.
Right. And when you're caught in a storm and you're very upset about it, that upsetness can completely envelop you. So you don't have any other way to look at your situation right now. You're just upset. Mm-hmm. And the whole mindfulness meditation thing is what you said, the ability to step back and say, I'm in the rain right now. And one choice you have is you could make up a better story, as you were demonstrating with, hey, not only am I wet right now, but this is really helping the farmers and the water situation right in the Cache Valley. We need the water. And another approach, in addition to that, is to step back from stories in general, mm-hmm, and to say, this is simply the way it is right now. It's just this way. And to let go of the anger and just say, it's this way right now. One of the great metaphors on this is the metaphor of two arrows. Let's say getting wet is one arrow hitting you and ouch, it hurts. Okay, that's the way it is right now. But getting upset about it is the second arrow, and that increases the pain. And that's not necessary. That is under our control through meditation and mindfulness.
Right. So that being said then, what would you feel is important then? Is how much, one thing that often comes up is people say, well, I don't have time to meditate. And time-wise, maybe that's legitimate. Maybe not. That may be another story. What are these guys rambling on about, stepping back, noticing this? We don't typically do that. So we've been conditioning our mind to react however we've been reacting. It's typically not solving situations, but we continue to do that because we don't know. We don't have another option. Again, it's a reaction, not a response. And so the power, why this is so effective and helpful when it seems simplistic, but very difficult to do, and especially to remember to do, is just try that. Try that, folks. When we are, it's so quick that we're just caught right up in a story or caught right up in the emotion, and then we're identified with it. You're not going, oh, I'm very upset and angry right now. Is this a logical thing to do? Do they mean to do this? No. We are angry, we say, if we even can recognize we're angry. And so we're, number one, limited to just this little definition, but also not stepping back. And so the reason why it's so helpful is this just changes that momentum that our lives have been constantly building, never giving the space, this pause. I've talked about this before. Stopping to give yourself a pause mentally or physically is like putting a period at the end of a sentence. And you can imagine how ugly that paragraph or book would be without any breaks, without any commas or periods, just letter after letter throughout the whole book or paragraph. And I know most of you probably can recognize what that feels like in your daily life. We're always falling forward, always rushed, and it's just taking that moment to pause. And that's just one small aspect of why it's helpful, is it's going against this conditioning of a constant reaction, allowing that space there to really either just be with it or to kind of slow that momentum down and become aware of what's actually happening. And so that point I brought up earlier, when is it, or what do you say to people that don't have time? And like I said, it may be working full or school full time, may just be busy. So is it or they say, I just can't. I can't sit still. I can't do this. Thinking it's just a posture or just a place you go to. So what was some comments on the no time thing? And if it's sitting still, more specifically, thinking that, oh, if I sit perfectly still for an hour, I'm better off than just a minute each day.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would start where the person is. I mean, as you said, I don't think there's anybody who doesn't take a half hour a day and use that time for something less productive than sitting. I mean, if you think of what's the biggest time waste of a half hour in your day, I'm sure you can find something, right? But that's not really the place to start. For me, the place to start is, where can we fit in a little bit of mindfulness? And if it doesn't seem like a sitting practice where you've dedicated a half hour to doing just that, well, what about 5 minutes? And 5 minutes is enough to have an impact. So maybe we can find a tiny amount of time. And if even that doesn't seem doable, what about meditating or being mindful on the go? One of my favorite meditations is walking across campus.
Mm-hmm.
When I walk across campus, I will just be aware of all the sensory experiences that are happening. Can I feel the wind on my face? Can I feel the warmth of the sun as I'm walking? Can I notice the feeling on my feet as they're touching the ground? The feeling in my legs as they're moving? So just walking across campus, which I have to do anyway, can be a moment of meditation. And I encourage people to try that, because I could describe what for me are the benefits of doing that. But that's just a lot of talk. Mm-hmm. To really have it be meaningful, you have to do it yourself. This is something like hearing a certain kind of music, like tasting a new food, that cannot really be described. Each person has to notice the effects of doing this for themselves. So just when you're walking, be aware of the physical sensations right at that moment. And then after you've done that for a few minutes, reflect on how is that different than your normal walk across campus. And do that a few times and see if it's worthwhile. And if it was, then I think people will find a little bit more time to do it, and maybe they'll start 5 minutes of just stopping the rest of the things in their lives and doing it. Or maybe they'll just start doing that meditation on the go for longer and longer periods.
Nice. So there you have it. It's not just, it can be very helpful to have a formal sitting practice, but it's not just about that. This can be a very experiential, daily life, kind of, and really ordinary in a way. This is a very beautiful campus if you're here. And to just really take that in, the birds, the flowers, the trees, the breeze, those mountains. People do not always see mountains, and it's just incredible how what used to be really scary thing for me, I will admit, I was worried about all the walking I would have to do from one building to the next, will I get there on time? And to just really enjoy that now. It is mm-hmm. It's built in mindfulness, it's built in meditation practice. It then gives me an appreciation for this campus, for this valley. And you noticed, so you're walking anyway, so it's not taking time. It's not sitting still. Those things are very helpful. But also notice, you can reflect upon your experience of how that was. And that's another thing, is maybe after or while you're doing it, not in so much an analytical way, but you can notice, how am I walking? What are these sensations on my feet? Am I just blaming people or things, taking it all for granted? Or, as one teacher explains, is each step massaging the earth, massaging our Mother Earth, who provides everything for us, and really just feeling that connection, that literal physical grounding to the earth as you're walking, yeah. as you're massaging the earth, but also that groundedness in your daily life, in your being.
Yeah, and you can take that really simple thing of just mm-hmm. taking the time it takes you to walk from building to building, and you can build up all kinds of deeper practices on that. For example, as you're walking and feeling the physical sensations and noticing the wind and the views and things like that, can you notice, when are you feeling what's happening right now? And when are you making up stories about it? When are you creating all kinds of meanings about all the things you see? And so simply noticing the difference between my actual experience and my constructions, my proliferations, my ideas, my stories about those things, that can be a very, very deep practice. And that's a practice that could take you a lifetime to develop more and more deeply and take you in some amazing places. So it's really very accessible. Mm-hmm. Another thing I would suggest is that, since I know a lot of students listen to the station, next time you're stressed about an assignment, which when I was a student, I was stressed almost constantly, next time you can't get the assignment out of your head, or you're feeling, as you said, the pain in your neck or the pain in your chest with stress, can that be a sign to you? Okay, just for this moment, I want to feel exactly what I'm feeling. And just notice, exactly what does that feel like? Right? Get into, how does my neck feel? How is my breathing? Can I notice other things that are going on? Maybe I'm stressed when I'm walking or when I'm sitting. Can I feel how my body is right at this moment without stories attached to it? So try that, and then notice, how was that experience compared to my experience just before that, when I was doing my normal thing, as you said, in the world of reactivity, mm-hmm. instead of the world of mindfulness. And just see for yourself, how are those experiences different? And I think that's a wonderful starting place and a very healthy practice.
And so it almost seems the scientific benefits, as I mentioned, it almost seems like that almost becomes a side effect, it's almost an addition. Like, wow, that happened. Maybe this is all clearing up. But I'm picking up just from this already that this is changing the other interactions you have with others, with yourself, and with others. Just how exactly. You don't have to go into too much detail, but just where does this affect you throughout either your teaching life, your daily life, just personal? Why would we invest this time? And so instead of these dry objective, scientific, quote-unquote, benefits. Where are you feeling this? Because as I practice, and just even as you're mentioning these practices, this is already changing your perspective, your habitual thinking. And so what does that really do for you? Where do you feel that change? What is that change? Why do this?
That's a great question. And as I said, there's a lot of levels to it. So one time I practice walking across campus, for example, is when I'm feeling stressed about a project in the office. So I do a lot of grant writing. I write articles on research. I actually give feedback on a lot of student work. And if you think it's hard to write those papers, sometimes it's even harder to give feedback on them. And if you can imagine, you know, a stack of 30, 50 student papers, it's possible to get a little burned out while you're doing that. And then I'll notice myself becoming less sympathetic to the students and maybe becoming a little edgy in how I'm feeling about their work and the kind of feedback I'm giving. And when I feel that, then it's time for me to practice a little mindfulness, whether I actually walk around or I just sit in my office for even 1 or 2 minutes and notice what's going on in the present moment. Then I reconnect with why this work is valuable and why I'm doing it. And what it does is it shifts the work from being something I'm seeing that I just have to get done with, so this can be done and out of my life, so I can get rid of it, shifts it from that perspective to a positive perspective. I'm reminded of the value and why I'd want to do this. So it completely changes my feeling about the very same task. So that's one time when I really specifically notice the need to practice, and then come back with a whole different perspective. And it affects my relationships, too, because if I am stressed, if I'm worried about things, if I'm preoccupied by that kind of stuff, I can't really be there for the other people in my life. And if I can take a few minutes for mindfulness and recognize that those feelings may be there, but they don't have to rule my life, I don't have to react to them in a particular way, then I can be there for the other people in my life.
Well, thank you. And so that kind of reminds me, actually. First, give your professors some credit. They are going through so many things as well and do a great job. Not only dumping knowledge, as it were, into your mind, but also just being wonderful leaders, guidance, and teachers. And even in their examples. But also, you mentioned something really, really important, that the external situation didn't change. And that's a big part for me. I'm not doing this so much. This will creep up there for sure. But it's not to get rid of a certain situation or to make something happen. It's being with what is. In fact, it's waking up to what is. And that can be very powerful. And instead of me talking about what that means and what that is, that's a little part for you to investigate with some open-mindedness and curiosity. And so I just, we're winding down a little bit here. I'd want to thank Tim again for being on, for very, very valuable wisdom and some experiential practices. And so thank you very much for being here, and also for making USU what it is. We have wonderful faculty staff here.
Well, thanks, Jake. I'm really excited about your radio show, this being the very beginning of it, and I look forward to tuning in and following the show and all the good work you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
So, folks, we'll be right back. Just take a short break, and then we will put our money where our mouth is. Try these practices out, and if it doesn't work, then it's a full money back guarantee. But since this is free, I can say that. So we'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Aggie Radio, radio for the students, by the students. I'm Jake Grossman here with Mindfulness on Air. And if you were tuning in, we just had Tim Slocum on, professor in special education and as well as mindfulness practitioner. Very wonderful. Man, that was really great. A lot of wisdom from him. Very accessible, approachable, help you out. Just a wonderful being he is. And before I give out a few more announcements to end our show, let's just go ahead and find a comfortable position where you are. No need to change your circumstance too much. Just bring your awareness to what's happening right now for you. Maybe noticing some sounds. What sounds? Are there birds, people, a fan? What do you notice happening around you? Maybe bring your attention to what's happening within you. What are you feeling? What are you experiencing right now? And again, we're just becoming aware, just noticing, taking a pause, whether that's a physical pause, just internally. Breathing with awareness, not changing the breath, but just noticing that we're constantly breathing, but how often are we aware of it? Maybe bring a smile, half smile, relaxing the face, or an internal smile. Just bring your attention to your palms. Notice any sensations you're feeling in your palms. You may feel pulsing, tingling, numbness. There's no right or wrong way, just what is happening for you right now. And see if you can relax your palms. Bring your awareness to your belly, noticing the sensations there. Soften, relax the belly. Bringing your awareness to your shoulders. Relax the shoulders down and back. See if you can hold all these areas in awareness. The palms, belly, and shoulders. Just take a few mindful breaths, staying with your present experience without judging, without expecting or trying to make anything happen or push anything away. Just feel what it feels like to inhabit this body, to be alive, to be present right now. Just notice what's different for you, what's going on. This is just a short practice that you can take anywhere with you, sitting in class, in a line, at work, even driving, becoming really aware, relaxing the tension, the mindful walking Tim mentioned. We can really use these practices as skills to cultivate the mind, to have just another tool to be with what is. And you can always bring this quality of awareness. It's not just in the practice. We do the practice to bring our awareness to what we're doing, to remember, to remind us, to be present. But that awareness, we can be aware of whatever we're doing. So whatever you do throughout your day, you can drop the stories and just be with that. And just start noticing if we just do this a few times each day, you can practice along with us. Or as I mentioned, the different meetings. But we'll practice more and more with different techniques. So just hang in there. We'll explore some different traditions, techniques, different perspectives of people who practice and what they do. Since this is a show about awareness, not only awareness within, but just raising a little bit of awareness, there's a rapid transit wheelchair race that's happening May 30th. That's a Saturday. Saturday, May 30th from 1 to 3 p.m. in Mount Logan Middle School. That's 875 North, 200 East here in Logan. You can inquire at rapidtransitrace.org. And it's bringing awareness, wheelchair awareness, getting people, the disability, the able alike, young and old, together to have some fun doing wheelchair racing. There'll be door prizes. Prizes for winning the different categories, like Best Decorated Wheelchair Award, whoever wins the races. Just a whole lot of fun. I will mention that a couple times more as it gets near, but that's Saturday, May 30th from 1 to 3. So folks, go ahead and put that on your calendar. And also a little shout out to Aggies Going Green and Sossner, the student organizations for sustainability, natural resources, who kind of brought in this mindfulness to be aware of yourself and your impact on each other and the environment. So a little shout out to them. I will bring up different announcements when I have things to share. So then that way, if you are a big fan of that, which who isn't a fan of a sustainable earth, but if you were listening to that show, I will keep you informed of what's happening and any announcements that come up. Once again, you're listening to Aggie Radio. This is Jake Grossman from USU Meditation Club. Thank you for listening, and have a great day, and enjoy your weekend.